Well, we're looking at Proverbs, and we're looking at 2016 through the lens of Proverbs, and I want to tonight just take a few minutes to talk about a very important subject, and that is the matter of friendship. We are made for relationships. We are made primarily for a relationship with God, and we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart, and God is wanting to draw us to Him. And He gives us, as a means of meeting our human needs, our family. And He also gives us friends. Friends have a powerful influence on our lives. And tonight, we're going to look at a number of verses that warn us and encourage us about friendships. But I want to preface that with the different ways that we have friends in modern America, in modern culture. First and foremost is the normal way, and that is you get a group of people, a peer group, people that influence you, people that you depend upon, that you're involved with. And so in whatever groupings you are, there are people that you begin to let into your life. And so that would be the normal way that we think of friendships. And that can be very good, and that can be extremely dangerous, as we'll see here in Proverbs. But now we have a new way to have people that have influence in our lives. And I'm sure you're ahead of me, the matter of the social media. And what happens is we are careful to some degree, I trust, in who we allow into our lives personally. But with the different forms of social media, you begin to have a group of people that become your friends and are commenting and sharing things on a personal nature that you would never have all grouped together in the same room, nor would you want to be known as their friends in public. That is a big problem. A number of years ago, a lady wrote, as she looked at her son's Facebook page and realized that he was constantly involved with 70 different people, and she knew who they were, and she said that she wouldn't allow him to be in the room alone with any one of them, and yet he was in the room alone with 70 of them all at one time. Then there's a matter of entertainment. We become close to those people that we watch, the characters that we see portrayed, especially on TV programs that are shown on a weekly basis, or on the different episodes of different movies that go out. And though that is purely what's in our minds, people become very attached to the stars of these different shows and become very vicariously involved in their lives, and they have a great influence on us. And so TV and then the movie industry and all is very powerful in how it affects our thought process. Then radio. Radio personalities, talk show folks, different types of radio personalities. You may be you drive a lot and you listen, and these people begin to really influence your thinking. They really become, in some ways, a friend and a confidant, though you don't have a two-way exchange very often unless you call into a talk program. So we have to realize a much greater application can be given to these principles than just who we actually associate with, though that's the most important application. It's not the only application in 2016. Did you know there are people, there are teenagers, there are young adults, there are adults who really don't have very many friends in their actual life, but have a lot of these friends in these different categories that I talked about that are being influenced in a terrible way. And though they seem to be protected, they are not protected. So, first of all, when it comes to friends, we need to decide wisely. We need to decide wisely who we're going to let into our heart and mind, who we're going to care about, who we're going to listen to, who are going to be someone that's important to us. And so we want to look, first of all, that the friend that you're around, their character affects you. Their very lifestyle affects you. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's known in sports that if you want to get better, for instance, as a tennis player, you don't play people you can beat all the time. You play those that'll probably beat you for a while, but you're going to learn from their technique and their ability and having to rise to the standard of their play to be able to become a better tennis player. And so if you ever want to excel in any field, you want to be with someone that has skills and has character in certain areas that you can exemplify. Well, in the area of our life and of the important things of what we believe and our character, how we live, our self-discipline, it's important that you choose people that are going to encourage you to love the Lord, to be strong, to be disciplined, to be men and women of God, rather than folks that you certainly want to help people. I want to talk about that in a minute. You want to help people that have lesser or weaker character, but you've got to be very careful about the people that are influencing you. Are they going to influence you to be less effective or more effective? Now, let me stop here. I need to qualify this. Ministry is when we meet the needs of those in need, but we don't need them for our own personal needs. Friendship is when we have allowed someone to have influence on us, and to some degree, we need them in the sphere of our life. That makes sense? So we minister to people all the time that have needs. That's the whole point of what we do in ministry. But the minute someone's influencing you, they have stepped out of being someone you're ministering to. They are now someone influencing you. Teenagers, yes, you need to care about kids that struggle. But you've got to be very careful, parent and teenager, that you've got to realize that ministering to someone doesn't mean allowing them as a peer to affect you and influence you and lead you down the wrong path. And so there's a great difference, and parent, you've got to be very discerning in that. So we got to understand character does affect. Chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." How many stories of people that have said, "I never would have done that if I hadn't been with those friends." Right now, I could have a sweeping number of testimonies of many of you as young people where you were foolish enough to be involved in a crowd that was lesser than you. You had better ideals than that, but because you wanted their approval, you did things to impress them, and you went down a pathway that took some time to get back and the damage was done. Many could give that kind of a testimony. And so we need to walk with wise men. Choose wisely who you let into your heart. Minister to anyone that's there, but to let the guard down and truly have them as a friend in which you confide to some level, you better be very discerning that that person will not hurt you spiritually. They will challenge you in every facet of your life. Very important principles. Good friends will help you improve. I've already said that. Chapter 27, verse 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, and so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty or earnest counsel." A real friend is somebody that's going to challenge you. A real friend isn't going to let you go the wrong direction. A real friend isn't going to let you talk about things that you ought not talk about. Your fellowship is going to be sweet. It's going to be edifying. It's going to be earnest. It's going to be good. It's going to be serious. If you've got a friend that never talks about the Lord, that's not a real friend. If you've got a friend that doesn't have enough courage to encourage you when you're not doing right, then that's not a friend. That's someone that's going to lead you the wrong direction. Also in chapter 27, verse 5, along this line, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." True friendship is honesty, transparency, and it's always for edification. And, you know, every one of us need people that will encourage us and be honest with us. Those are true friends. Now, again, choosing your friends, deciding wisely, you've got to realize that harmful friends, as I've already intimated, will drag you down. Pleasure seekers, chapter 23, verse 20, "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh," or gluttonous people. In other words, people that are just living for the moment, sort of what you have here in Wisconsin in the summertime. I mean, party goers, okay? It's all about a good time. And don't be among them. "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close a man with rags. Life is not about the fun time. Life is, though God wants us to have a good time, it's not about those things. And I tell you, beware of anyone that is living according to a sensual type of lifestyle. Chapter 28, verse 7, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." I've already alluded to this, but when we choose, young people, when you choose someone that is living a lifestyle that maybe other people don't know about, but you are influenced by them and you start doing things along with that crowd that is not doing right, you're going to shame your father and you're going to bring great grief to his life and to the cause of Christ. Chapter 28, verse 19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." And then chapter 22, verse 24, deals with the fact that don't be around bitter and discontented people. The New Testament has much to say about that. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about bitterness defiles many. And out of bitterness will come sensuality and will come profane living. And here you have much the same thought in chapter 22, verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." I tell you, when folks are talking negatively about other people, get away from it. That's not your friend. If anyone has to counsel with you about something they're concerned about with someone else, they'll do it with a broken heart. They'll do it with a heart to be able to restore. But that, not that hard edge or that bitter blame kind of an attitude. I'm telling you, that has wrecked more good people listening to discontented people in whatever area. Chapter 24, verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to no change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" In other words, those that are not contented. You got to be careful about those that are not honest. Chapter 29, verse 24, "Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing the oath and bewrayeth, or tells it not." You got to be around honest people. You know, someone that jokes about being able to get a leg up on the IRS dishonestly, they really shouldn't be your friend. I tell you, young people, anybody talks about cheating on a test, you need to deal with that. That's going to bring you down. That isn't the friend you want. People that laugh and joke at work about some of the stuff they were able to take home or ways they were able to cut corners, those can't be people that influence you or it will take you down. Fools, those who disregard God. And you know, Christians can be fools. The idea of foolishness is to say there is no God. In other words, life without God and a fear of God in their life. Chapter 14, verse 7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Secular living, I don't care how much a person talks about being a Christian, if their lifestyle and their heart is not about God, they don't talk about the things of the Lord with a warm heart of understanding, you want to reach them, you want to encourage them, you want to minister to them, but they can't be your friend. Now, by the way, have you noticed that all these things are pretty much common in the other ways that you can have friends outside of just personal relationships? It's the norm on entertainment. It's the norm on talk shows. Next one is immoral people. Folks, you got to have a high standard when it comes to those that get close to you. They've got to have a heart for holiness and a heart for morality. Chapter 29, verse 3, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." Should go without saying, but I'm telling you, let me say this as straightforward as I can. When you watch popular television, you are allowing harlots to influence you. And that's not an overstatement. And many times today, folks, people are very profligate. And you've got to be very careful about letting that's developing a hard conscience. That's creating a lot of the opposition to Christianity today. And folks, God still believes in purity. God still is the holy God. God believes in the fidelity in marriage. Immorality has not gotten better today, folks. It is not any lesser in the eyes of God, the sin that he has said in the Word of God. And we need to take our stand with God. If we want to resist the devil, we've got to submit to him, which means that we're on God's side about things that he is burdened about. Doesn't mean we don't love folks, obviously. We're ministering all the time. We're going to minister to a lot of people that have had many things in their lives. Many folks here have been saved out of that kind of lifestyle. We're talking about people that are actively involved and not under conviction about it and talk lightly about it. Folks, that can't be part of our lives. But how can we communicate openly on social media and entertainment and some of the innuendos that you'll hear pretty straightforwardly on all kinds of talk radio? We need to think twice about it. It does affect us. It gets us to be numb about things that God is not numb about. And just folks that are living in sin, chapter 24, verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Chapter 1, verse 10, that very important passage talking about the wise son. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cost. Cast in, verse 14, thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk now, not thou in the path with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And I'm telling you, people with violence are the stars of many of the shows of our day. And we have no business being entertained by them and vicariously becoming part of the hero's life and wanting to see them win when they have been violent and they have broken a lot of God's laws. Could I not say that all of this viewing of this and all of the viewing of video games of violence is causing some problems now? When are we going to wake up? Well, it was a long first point. The second, the last few points will be very quick here. Number two, not only do we need to decide wisely, but we need to devote ourselves to genuine friends with sensitivity. First of all, a true friend is going to meet them in their need. We talked about this morning. As Christ sacrificed for us, so we need to be moved with compassion toward fellow believers. We need to not shut up ourselves to meeting their needs. Chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I can tell you who true friends are. They are the ones that come right in, no matter what the sacrifice is. When you're hurting and you're in need, they are there, and they will stay there, and they will do whatever it takes to meet that need. And you never forget that. Chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Chapter 27, verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Those that we should be close to, we ought to be close to. Family members, we need to love them. But true friends, we really do need to meet their needs. And by the way, there's an interesting little side principle here. We need to have the kinds of friends, parents, that our children should honor because their lifestyle is one that is a lifestyle that they should emulate. I understand a little bit of this. Some of the greatest heroes in my own life of growth and faith were my father's friends. And I very much counted them as my friends because they were my father's friends. And I have wanted to honor them and do things for them. That's why we've done several things for Dr. Ed Nelson, my dad's closest friend. He's still alive. And it really touches me. I just thought, I need to go see him. I don't want to miss him on this side here before God takes him home. But we need to honor friends of those who are close to us. And, you know, honestly, parents, your children ought to have a great heritage of your friends being just the right kind of friends. The friends they can look up to for a lifetime. And honestly, some of my dad's friends were my friends, even though I was a generation below them. And so it's very important. And then we need to keep the confidence of true friends. What I mean by that is you don't go, a friend that confides in you, you keep that matter if it's appropriate to you. Chapter 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. I tell you, it is so unusual for a person to be trustworthy. If it's right for you to keep a matter, sometimes you have an obligation, and you need to tell them you have an obligation, but to tell an appropriate authority or person that can help. But when somebody confides in you, you ought to ask God for the character to be totally trustworthy. Don't you appreciate people you can trust? Even at their own expense, they're going to be true to you, even if they're misunderstood. Those are true friends. Chapter 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, but a whisperer separateth chief friends. And then I like this one. We need to show basic courtesy. Chapter 27, verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising in the early in the morning, it shall be counted as a curse to him. All right? Roommates, keep that in mind. If you want to count your roommates as friends, don't make loud noises for a person that doesn't wake up quickly, okay? It's very practical, the book of Proverbs is. In other words, the whole idea here is be sensitive to the way a person is and be courteous and respectful to them. And then another point here is we need to discern very carefully why somebody wants to be a friend. Unfortunately, people sometimes are not really sincere. Chapter 19, verse 6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. A lot of people like to be on the inside of somebody that seems to have a little bit of standing. That's not a true friend. And you got to be careful of someone using you or even trying to get something from you. You need to be discerning. That, and I've seen dear people here wanting to minister to people and getting close to folks, and then I begin to realize, whoa, this whole thing is about what the one person can gain from the other. And I've learned I have to be sometimes honest, and it's painful because I don't want to hurt situations, but you can see that happening. Chapter 19, verse 7, the next verse, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. You see, a true friend is going to love that person and meet their needs even if they don't have anything they can give. Verse 4 of the same chapter, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Chapter 14, verse 20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. The idea is you've got to be very, very discerning as to the motive why someone wants to get close to you. And if you're in a position of leadership or you're in a position in which you can maybe, they can get some kind of gain from you, you've got to love folks and meet their needs, but you've got to be very careful of allowing the guard to go down if you can tell the motives are not right. And then one final warning, it's not really parallel to the other three points, but it does need to be said, and that is friends do not guarantee other people's debts, their friends' debts. This is a very clear principle here. Be careful in the name of friendship, of co-signing. It's what the Bible says. Let me just read chapter 17, verse 18. A man void of understanding striketh hands and become a surety in the presence of his friend. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And let me just say this. As brothers and sisters in Christ in a local church or even among other Christians in other local churches, we need to be very careful about getting into partnerships, getting into business arrangements, and especially co-signing. There are many, many hurts. Probably the most difficult things that I and the deacons here have had to deal with over the years our business dealings among members of our church. And inevitably, somebody gets hurt in that whole thing. Be wise. A friend is going to be very careful never to put you in a precarious position, nor you another person. The minute you get into vulnerability because you've got a financial need, don't prey upon your friend. Let the Lord give you wisdom. Let that friend give you counsel, but be extremely careful about getting into any kind of business or financial arrangement that could bind you and could the other person could default, and now you've got a problem because you can't go to law against them. That's very clear from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so now you've got an offense between you and a brother within a local body of believers, and that has to be dealt with. So it's not exactly parallel to everything else, but it is part of this category, and I did want to mention that. So friendships, they're important. But let me say this. Number one, Jesus should be enough. Jesus should be enough. If you're married, Jesus and your spouse should be enough. And your friendships, whether you're married or not, you've got the Lord, your friendships should be primarily for edification. Be careful of being overly needy, overly dependent, overly wanting approval, meeting your need of loneliness or insecurity by having to have somebody else. Your friendships should be from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness, so that you can minister and yet you can get good counsel and you can have a good relationship, but not get it on a level that could create some of the problems that are here. So how are we doing on friends? Do we have them for the right reason? Are the ones that are close to you and influence you and you want to please, are they bringing you up or are they bringing you down? What kind of friend are you? Are you causing some people to go down? That's a very serious matter. Are we allowing friends into our lives vicariously through social media, through entertainment, through radio, through other means, even books? Are we allowing people to come close to us, even though it's just in our mind, and influence us? We really have to think about that. I think that's one of Satan's great tools. And then what kind of a friend are we? Are we really willing to be a friend? Are we willing to sacrifice? Is it for their sakes, not ours? Folks, this is life. This is what influences us. This is what causes Christians to rise and fall. This is not a small little category. This is a major category. How are we doing with our friends? Let's bow for prayer. Let me just simply say tonight, we've had a number of different principles given about friendship, and you know if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, and you'd say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in one way or the other, maybe in a little bit different application than I made even here tonight. But this is the Word of God. These are some of the strong principles of God's Word. And you'd say, you know, God did show me something tonight in my choices of friends or my choices of allowing influences into my life or what I'm doing for my friends. But God has just pointed out something, and I don't want to ignore it because I know it does have a major impact on my life. And I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. So would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up if God did deal with you? There are some things you need to change. There's some things you need to deal with. God bless you. Many hands. We've got to be very, very careful in this. Anyone else? God's working in my heart? Yes. God spoke to me. I need to make some choices here. I need to protect my life, and I need to be the kind of friend that I ought to be. All right. Maybe you're here tonight, and my friend, you need Jesus. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He died for you. He sacrificed for you. He has provided eternal life. And you say, Pastor, I don't know about eternal life. I don't know what would happen. I can't tell you for sure I'm a child of God, but I just sense God's working in my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and we'll pray for you also? Anyone like that tonight? Just pray for me. I'm burdened about my eternal soul. Lord, would you work in hearts? Thank you for the way that you have given us the scripture so practically, so practical, so down to earth. And Lord, we need to listen to you. You are our friend, and you need to be all that we need, and we need to listen to you about this matter. So, Lord, decisions that ought to be made, and I pray that they will be made tonight now, And would you be with anyone that doesn't know you as Savior? Lord, meet their need, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.